podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Eric has ED on B&B, Sally and Phyllis face off on Y&R, Jax finds out about Sunny on GH, and Beyond Salem premieres on Peacock. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Beau, welcome.
Hi.
Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Yo, yo, yo.
Mike Jubinville, welcome.
Hello.
Well, before we get to the big event of the week, which was the premiere and airing of Beyond Salem, let's talk a little bit about the other soaps. The Bold and the Beautiful is telling an ED storyline. Josh, thoughts?
Did it fall flat for you, Josh?
Oh, it was flaccid.
It was a soft week for B&B.
No! Get off. Let me get off. No. Dock somewhere. No.
Well, Quinn trying to get off. But
No.
No, it's
not ripped for her pleasure.
No. Yeah, I suppose it's a relevant storyline. I get it. I'm not really sure about how I feel about Eric bringing Carter to the house to basically say, which is we haven't gotten there yet, but Friday's episode implied that he's going to say Carter and Quinn can have sex because that's something he can't do right now. It felt a little weird.
Contrived.
It felt contrived, but it also felt icky because this is once again Eric kind of giving Carter orders, and this time he's siring him he's asking him to service his wife. It just feels weird. It feels weird and icky.
It's stupid. It's stupid because you have Viagra and other offshoots there. You mean to tell me Eric can't afford Viagra? From what I understand, that your Medicare, your insurance, whatever you have, covers that. Your insurance covers that. Knock it off. This is stupid and it's dated. It's
and the thing is if B&B had some nuance on it, they might have been able to tell a story prior to this in which Eric had some sort of medical ailment that was like a heart condition or something like that.
Right.
That would have made it so that he can't actually take a Viagra or a Cialis because it would conflict with his heart medication, which would then lead to
exactly
what we're seeing on screen. The problem with The Bold and the Beautiful is they don't do that much setup and they don't actually plan things out that far in advance. Mike, what did you think of it?
Well, I think it was, I personally think that I would not be surprised if Eric was faking somehow and trying to set Quinn and.
So, in other words, you're saying he's just a voyeur and he wants Carter to come over and fuck his wife?
Woo! Well,
no,
apparently,
I don't think he's saying that.
My initial thought was that Eric was setting Quinn up, but now that Josh has revealed that little tidbit, it doesn't really sound like it if you're giving somebody permission. It's not like he was setting her up to be free and then get caught in the act so that he can totally kick her out of his life.
I agree with what you said earlier. So I'm like, you changing that. I could see Eric telling her and Carter, y'all have permission to hunch, permission to board ship or whatever. And, that's a test to see if Quinn will be like, okay. And then he'd be like, ha, I can still screw you, slut. And then just tell her off. Or she's just like, no, Eric, I'm devoted to you, because she's been saying that over and over again. Like, I'm still going to stick by you, even though you can't do nothing. So maybe
but you're right.
Maybe it isn't.
It is a dated, not dated story. I mean, it's relevant for an older guy, but let's be honest, they're not exploring options or going to a therapist to work it out.
Nobody,
this is just straight up, come on over, my wife needs some attention.
Right. Nobody is saying to Eric, you mean Quinn of all people, who is like, Quinn doesn't say to Eric, hey, you can eat this like bran muffin and then you can get it up. Or
I did not know where you were going with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I did not either. There was I'm glad there wasn't a long pause.
Or take this holistic, we can do the holistic route. Let's try these, nothing. It's just quick to, I can't have sex with you. And then Carter can service you. I'm not feeling that. it also gives me the heebie-jeebies. I'm like, you're going to let this, it gives me some real heebie-jeebies on that, you know.
Yes.
Go read a history book. That's all I'm going to tell you. But I don't like it. It's this, to me, for him to just jump from, I have erectile dysfunction to, you can service my wife. I don't like it.
It takes the heat out of their affair as well. I mean, the hottest thing that was on B&B for a while was Quinn and Carter screwing around behind everybody's back.
Yes.
Now they just kind of dismantled that whole thing by allowing Eric to say.
Let's just say Eric isn't messing with them. Let's just hypothetically say Eric really can't. And then they say, okay, you know, how do you go to Forrester? Hey, Bridge, what's going on? Carter, what did you do last night? Your stepmom? Like, come on. Like, no, I'm not. This is. Mm-mm.
I think Donna is going to love him back to life. I think that's where we're headed.
Oh, I gotta go. Like,
Well, let's go to the Young and the Restless. For a week that I found very painful to watch, for the most part. Late last week, early this week, there was a slight bright side of, or a bright moment of drama when you had Sally and Phyllis face off at the party. There was ice buckets dumped and drinks tossed, et cetera, et cetera. It was a nice reprieve of drama, but the rest of the show for the rest of the week was very painful. Though, I will say, just on a character moment, Jack's scenes with Lauren and Phyllis talking about his emotional state were fantastic. But let's talk about the actual big drama. Jillian, what did you think of Sally versus Phyllis?
I actually enjoyed Wynonna this week. It was coming together. Phyllis versus Sally, I'm like, it was fun. They need to get rid of this whole she's mad at her for summer thing. It would have been better if it was she was pushing up on Nick and she was like, oh, hell no. You know what I mean? Like, they have the basis there. It's just that the reasoning that they're giving us doesn't make any sense. But I enjoyed it. I like Sally and Adam. I'm liking that. Yeah. And then when Chelsea crazy ass come to town, Chloe tried to tell that girl, stay away, girl. When Chelsea comes to town, that's going to be really juicy to see how this plays out. And then Adam still loves the two of them, and now somebody new is in the mix. Like, Adam never has anybody chasing after him. If you really sit and think about it, Adam does the chasing, or someone just happens to be with him for hapstance. Like, Chelsea and him were two outsiders, and they grew to love each other, but Sally's actively chasing him. I dig that. So the fight was cool. I mean, like I said, I enjoyed Wynonna this week.
Mike, what did you think of Sally versus Phyllis?
Well, Sally versus Phyllis was fun. I agree. I just am having a hard time with Phyllis being old enough to be her mother and fighting with Sally. It's just like it's like she's fighting the battle that should be with Summer and not her. But despite
and it's not
that,
even like a Catherine and Jill type thing either.
No, I mean, it could be, but
it could be,
be,
but
honest,
it's not,
because Jill and Catherine were years apart as well. But and I agree. I think Nick would be the pin that ties these two together. It was a nice surprise to see Adam and come in on a Sally on Adam's arm come into the party, because it just kind of was like, okay, that happened. And I can also see some heat with Adam and Chloe and Sally. So I feel like that could be an interesting little thing. We all know Adam and Chloe's history, but we also know soaps are filled with moments of hate sex. I don't know. I just like, it was okay. It was fun to watch them at the party and watch everybody's reaction to them. But, yeah, I think Phyllis needs a rival that's like really
worthy of her talents.
Yeah, I mean, because Phyllis and Sally have not committed the same types of crimes. And Phyllis is really, really more of a schemer than Sally. Sally's schemes are kind of not as they don't have
Phyllis
as much
can
as a lasting impact.
Circles around Sally. Sally basically did one thing to Summer, where Phyllis has decades of experience and skills.
I would say it's basic. Like her curse compared to Phyllis is basic. Basic.
It's basically a basic Uber versus what is it? Uber Black. That's the difference. Let's talk a little bit about General Hospital. Jax found out that Sonny is alive and he is not there for Nina keeping it a secret. And I have zero empathy for Nina when this all comes crashing down on her. And I hope that when Ava finds out that her supposed BFF has kept the father of her child from her daughter, that Ava will rain down like hellfire. That being said, there's
You have a question?
I'm talking about the transition. Let me go. There are other people who will rain down hellfire first. And Jax's wasn't even hellfire. Mike, what do you think of the fact that Jax now knows that Sonny is alive? And do you think that Nina will actually tell Sonny?
She did say she was going to tell Sonny, but I'm not sure that she will. She's not quite ready to go there yet, and Sonny has made it very clear he does not want any of his past to come to his attention because he feels that his family or anybody would be looking for him, hasn't even bothered. He doesn't even know that he's pronounced or that somebody's grieving him as a dead person. I mean, there's a big, big hole right there. But yeah, Nina's scheme is probably not her brightest one. I think people, you know, feel some kind of chemistry with them. I really don't. I don't like this story for me is it's almost like it operates. It's in its own little place. Now the key is if Jax goes back and busts up this wedding, over
you don't think
Jocelyn.
Jax is going to be the one that busts it up. I mean, like with wedding, I'm thinking back to Jason. I'm thinking back to Patrick and Sabrina when Robin showed up. I mean, the money shot is having Sonny/Mike show up at the wedding as they're saying, I do. That's the money shot in soaps.
Right. I would agree with that. But Jax is the one who's the loose cannon and he's suddenly worried about Jocelyn. I mean, he's always been worried about Jocelyn, but I don't know. It's weird. He worries about her, but he doesn't take control of the situation. Jocelyn is, and even Carly, as much as she loves Jocelyn and they have this amazing relationship, Carly's being very short-sighted by having all this mob wedding
Carly?
And have her daughter. No, I'm just saying.
That's totally a
I'm
character
just saying
for
that
Carly.
She would know. She would know that Jocelyn should not be there.
I could see a situation like this is just me hypothesizing. I don't read spoilers. I could see a situation where Jax doesn't believe that Nina is going to actually go through with it. So he goes back to Port Charles, grabs Jocelyn and be like, there's something I need to have you see before the wedding. And then Jocelyn goes back and all of a sudden seeing Jocelyn might trigger something. I don't know if that would work just because technically Jocelyn is not Sonny's child, but she did grow up with him and they've already established the connection with the cooking in that element. So I don't know if it could work, but like, I feel like there's going to have to be something else that triggers Mike to go to Port Charles that is not Nina. Cause I'm not convinced Nina will tell them. Jillian, what did you think of the developments?
I mean, you also keep forgetting that Peter knows, and Peter came back at the end of Friday's
Phyllis.
And the end of Friday's episode. So the walls are, in fact, closing in on Nina. You either do it or one of them are going to tell. Here's the thing about this storyline. I wasn't really feeling Jax. The way how they had Jax connected, I thought this was stupid. Because you had Jocelyn say it. We've seen it as viewers. Jocelyn said, you know, this tastes like my dad. This tastes like Sonny sauce. I know you've never tasted Sonny sauce before. All of a sudden, Jax puts two and two together from friggin' sauce. And it's just like,
well, it wasn't just the sauce. It was also the visual.
Let me finish. No, no. Jax jumped from the sauce. Then he goes to the visual. Then it's the mic. No, if it was more nuanced, if he thought he heard Sonny's voice, then he heard that this guy's name is Mike. And then he's like, no, Nina wouldn't do that. Then the sauce was the linchpin. Fine. It literally went from the sauce. He went to Ava to say something. Well, he went to Ava. Ava mentioned the boyfriend was Mike. And then he put two and two together and went to Nixon Falls. That's exactly what happened. That is exactly what happened. When he heard that Ava said her boyfriend's name is Mike, he started having flashbacks of seeing Sonny. That's what happened. Like, what you watching? The sauce was like the kicker for it. Like, the sauce kind of like blended everything together, which was stupid. Like, if it was a little bit more nuanced, if he kept trying to call Nina at, you know, sit down and say, you know, I broke my relationship with Michael and fractured severely my relationship with Carly because I went so far to have you have cuss to see Wiley and you're not coming to town. You've been dying to see this kid. And he kept calling her and she kept downplaying it. And then he thought he heard Sonny's voice. And then he starts connecting the dots fine, but it went from the sauce to Ava, flashbacks, and then he revved up his jet and went to Nixon Falls. That was, I wanted a little bit more, something else more for that. Like, I just thought it was a bust.
Josh, well, this is like a big story, so it seems to me the climax should be building up and be really, really powerful, but it doesn't seem like it's at that point yet.
Josh, did you know that you would enjoy Sonny Sauce so much this last week?
Why everything in Port Charles got to be about Sonny Sauce?
Right.
It's always
If this was not a Beyond Salem week, the title of this podcast would be Sonny Sauce.
Sonny Sauce. Oh, God. The whole thing is just stupid. It just I've not enjoyed Low Rent Paris, Texas at all. I've enjoyed the implications of the fallout of Sonny being out of Port Charles has been interesting to me. And I actually disagree with Michael here. I actually think Nina and Sonny, Cynthia Watros and Maurice Bernard have really good chemistry.
Yep, they do.
And the only way that this works for me is if Sonny returns to Port Charles and has a struggle between taking back his old life and being drawn to Nina. That, to me, is an interesting thing that could happen. And I have no evidence of this whatsoever. I am simply just speaking. I'm just brainstorming. I feel like we're headed towards Clink Boom again. I feel like there's going to be an explosive Clink Boomy moment at this wedding or right after the wedding or something.
Well, please take Gladys and Brando Sasha out. Just
yes.
Boom.
Every description I've seen of this has the word explosive in it.
Please, please take them all out. I'm sorry. They seem like lovely people, but who cares about, I don't care about Brando. I do not care about Sasha Not Fares, and I do not care about this budget, this Dollar Tree Gladys Kravitz that is his mother. I don't. Like, we don't even know who Elizabeth Weber's mother is, and she's been on for decades. But we have Sonny's aunt, his cousin. I don't care. I don't care. They better do right.
And they're not, like, it would be one thing where if he was actually maybe a mobster and maybe there was a rivalry because Michael was jealous of the fact that Sonny had been grooming his cousin to take over instead of, and Michael was like, well, I'm your son, blah, blah, blah. But there's not even any of that. The
islanded.
Sasha and Brando and
they're islanded
and bringing him in as a stripper. Like, how much imagination does it take? How much imagination does it take to tell the story that we're watching with these people? It's not good soap. It's painful. I put a GIF up on Twitter this last week because for me, General Hospital, the first half of the year, it fired on almost every cylinder. There were elements of stories that I didn't like, but overall the show fired. The last half of the year is starting out with like a train that is falling off the rails in the middle of a bridge.
By yourself with that, honey.
But yeah.
I'm still enjoying GH. Now, Luke, you by yourself with that. It's just a few things they need to fix. Like, Jack's figuring out that, like, that, I did not like that. Brando, his mama, and Sasha, they need to do something with them fast, or at the beginning of 2022, they got to go, because I don't care. We don't care about this meddling, this trio. I don't, at least I don't. But I'm enjoying GH. I really am. So I hope this wedding, takes care of some people. That's all I'm going
to say it.
I want to circle back to what Josh said about Clink Boom, because he and I had texted about this off the podcast, obviously, since we can't text on a podcast. But my thought was, I could see a Faith Roscoe shoot up happening at this wedding potentially. I don't know that, like, I would see a Clink Boom, but I could definitely see a Faith Roscoe something goes down at the church shootout. That
and it's probably
going to
be somebody that we don't even know, some like day player. You know, Chico got killed. Oh my God! And you're like, who the hell is Chico?
Well, like, and it was like the other thing was. On the docks, the Asian mob queen, I was like, I wonder if there's a Brad connection. But, you know, we're never going to get that element to this, ever.
Well, they gave it to us, and then they forgot it.
Right. Like, they gave it to us when Brad was introduced, as he was connected to the Asian mob. But since the Asian mob has been on, the element of the storyline, which might actually get some of the gay characters back on screen, is not being played out, even though we're seeing the Asian mob. But let's talk a little bit about Days of Our Lives proper before we get to the big event of the week, Beyond Salem. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on Doug's dementia, because it's interesting to see how this is beginning to play out versus, say, what we went through for umpteen years on General Hospital with Mike and Sonny.
And YNR,
yes.
Don't beat up on the GH boys. You got to be filled.
Well, that's true. I tried to put out of my mind what happened with the Abbots.
Nope, got to be even.
What are you guys thinking about how this is beginning to play out? Josh?
Bill Hayes is 96 years old. And I know, right? Don't he look good?
He look good. Good.
I hope I look that good at 96.
You don't look that good at 46.
Get out of here. Fuck you.
You're not 46, dummy. That's why. You're so slow. You still ain't even start up the car engine yet. You ain't 46, so what's the big deal?
Bill Hayes still memorizing lines in 96, too. Being that it's dementia storyline and maybe not an Alzheimer's storyline differentiates it a little bit. But what I like about what they did this week is that in Doug's forgetfulness, he's bringing up storylines from the past. He called Roman John. He's doing different things where it's not, he is having dementia symptoms, but for the audience, it makes sense, because what he's mistaking are things that actually happened. He's just getting things confused. And so I think it's an interesting way to do it for the audience. We have to let it play out. I mean, Ron doesn't seem to storyboard things for 2 years. Like, so I can't expect we'll get a 2-year storyline like we did on GH and Minar. So maybe if it's faster, and maybe if it's related to something else. I mean, there's lots of things that can cause dementia.
12 years in advance, right? So I'm like, maybe he does have this storyboarded out. You know what I mean? Because
But I'd be very curious. I mean, it could be dementia, but there are also lots of things that can cause. No, not lots of things.
Well, at 96, there's any number of medical ailments. It could just be he's on some new. There could be medication conflicts.
It could be the Alamanian peacock.
Thank you for the segue. Thank you for the segue. Let's talk about.
Have to say, though, how many people wouldn't have liked to lock Julie in the freezer over the years? That's it.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
wait, say that again. Say that again. Sorry. Say that again. What?
How many people over the years would not have wanted to put Julie in a freezer?
The best moment of the week on Days was when Gwen and Xander were just cackling about it.
Me too, because I saw people online, he put Julie in the freezer. I'm like, what's the problem? What's the problem? I was the problem. Julie get on my nerves sometimes. So I'm like, Doug did what the audience, he did what needed to be done. So I don't think he had dementia. Doug just playing fool because he don't want no one to know. Julie got on his nerves.
After all these years, he's finally done with her.
Yes, he was
like
a talk
about Bonnie and Calista either, huh?
No, we don't have time.
No, we do not. No,
because we got to talk about the Beyond Salem shit.
Calista is not worth our time to discuss. It was that bad.
Yes.
Let's talk about Beyond Salem because it was that good. There's a lot to cover. There's a lot of locations. There's a lot of characters. The thread that goes through all of them is Shane Donovan, Charles Shaughnessy returned. Pardon?
I said yes.
Oh, his that voice. Man. I could listen to that voice.
No. Sit your bakuchi in some cold water. You're getting a little bit fresh.
Hot in the ass.
You fresh. Like he, let's just say this man, he came back into daytime like nothing happened. Like that man is badass. And I'm
aging like a fine wine.
I'm sorry, Teo, but he doing a damn thing over at GH as Victor. I know this is days, but still, I just have to give him his props. The man is good. The man is very good. Yes.
So he reveals to John and Marlena that the Alamanian peacock, whose gems were stolen 20, 30 years ago, I don't remember the exact time.
1991.
So a long time ago, these gems were stolen and they've suddenly started to resurface. And now there is a race to get them all and return them to the Alamanian family, which is what brings in John and Marlena. Of course, at the same time, Anna finds out that Carrie is having some marital problems with Austin and wants to butt her nose into it, as Anna is wont to do. And so John, Marlena, Anna, and Tony all end up in Switzerland. Anna and Tony go to see Austin and Carrie while John and Marlena prepare to try and get one of these gems from the auction. Let's talk. I don't know how to quite navigate this because there's so many locations. So let's just talk about the location, like what happened in Switzerland, even though that will also sort of cover the climax. Josh, as a longtime beloved Days of Our Lives fan, what did you think of how this came together and the arrival in Switzerland?
Oh my God. My inner teenage Joshy came out and just squealed repeatedly even as it started in that first episode.
So a regular Thursday at your house.
Exactly. Okay. I adore Christy Clark and I adore Leanne Hunley. And they have been mother and daughter on that show forever, but are never in scenes together. And I thought, the premise of Carrie and Austin having issues is whatever, but Anna wanting to stick her nose in and wanting to buy that necklace to help Austin and Carrie, it's very Anna. It's very over the top. And I need Leanne Hunley on my screen more often, quite frankly.
After watching this, I am convinced that she needs to be the new Jessica Fletcher in a Murder, She Wrote reboot because she would be perfect.
She's awesome. And she brings a little humor to everything. I liked all of that. And I really, really liked John, Marlena, Tony, and Anna at the auction. When John and Marlena getting irritated with Anna was one of my favorite things of the entire five episodes. Anna unknowingly, or really Tony unknowingly, buying the necklace and causing John and Marlena issues and the whole investigation issues was kind of awesome. I kind of loved that. I don't know, the Alamanian peacock, obviously never heard of the Alamanian peacock, but I thought it was a really interesting thing to have the gem spread out all over the world. And all over the world. I thought it organized really well. I was interested in each city. There was good stuff. I squealed at each city, and we hadn't even gotten down the road yet. But we're going to talk about Adrian Franz and all that awesomeness.
Oh,
at the sex
yes,
part.
Adrian Franz. It was so good to have her back on my screen. Jillian, what did you think of the overall story of Beyond Salem?
The premise was good. I mean, the Alamanian peacock, I'm like, you never heard of it? I'm like, you slow, full child. It's on Peacock. NBC's mascot is what? A peacock. I'm like, ketchup. I enjoyed it. I loved Paul, you know, I loved Paulina, Abe, and Lonnie and Eli in Miami. And we're hearing about this.
Ass.
We're hearing, yes, I was like, bitch, she is just mad. She is me. I'm like, fuck everybody else. I want my stuff now. I don't care about nobody. I want my stuff
you
now.
You said that too.
Yes, I would have. I'd have been like, I don't care. I want my stuff. Run it now. We hear about this, Michelle. I'm like, who? What are they? I enjoyed it. Switzerland, it was cute. I like the Switzerland aspect. I only have a tiny gripe about that. I'll start when we talk about the other characters. I'll swoop in and say what that is. I'm sorry, Phoenix. I'm like, Luke, bitch, that's what y'all be doing out in Phoenix. That's what y'all
Listen,
be doing.
Listen, that was what you call Hollywood's interpretation of Phoenix. Gay guys in Phoenix in the summer when it's 100 and some 4 are not.
Well, we don't know if it's the summer. Oh, yeah, it is summer. Yeah,
it's,
okay.
It's Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
Are not that dressed up in shirts. Everybody's in tank tops and shirts or shorts. And I mean.
You see how pale them boys are? I'm kind of glad. So, I'm like, they some pale. But no. But I.
I'm not just going to say it out loud.
What'd you say?
I just got to say, this show reinvigorated Billy Flynn.
Billy Flynn. Zach Tinker is a good find.
Yes, he is.
I enjoyed him. I felt that for him when he was getting on Will's ass about being in that room with Leo. I was like, Will, you bitch. I'm like, Sonny, cuss him out. I felt it. That young man, great find. Greg Rickhart stole the show, honey.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he did.
Jack A coming in at the rear. They stole the show. New Orleans was cute also. It was really interesting. I love the fact that they did the Princess Gina thing. They had Sierra give a little history about her parents and I'm about to call it Maison Blanche, child.
Oak Alley.
Yes, Oak Alley. See, I don't know. So I was totally fine. And then they're bringing in people, offshoots of the family. You know, Millie Faversham. And then you have Adrian Fons as his wife. So I had no problem with that. And then, you know, Lord Sebastian Alamein. Not a problem with that either. I enjoyed that.
They used the Von Leuschner name.
Yes.
That was in Jamie's episode, the fifth episode. That was awesome. And that the peacock was Carly's dowry.
Yes, that's part of her dowry. I thought that was cool. Well, I'll say it now. My only little gripe was, I thought, you know, somebody said it on Twitter. They was like, they got 70-year-old John fight and cry. But I'm just like, oh, my God, yes. My only gripe is I love the fact that they're using familiar characters for people who haven't watched the show in a while.
Yep.
You come right in, you see your favorites there. Only wish they would have had somebody like put old school with new school, even though they had that. This is what I mean by new school. When Shane was talking to John, I would have liked for him to say, you know, when they were talking, he's hyping up this new person that wasn't Peter Portes. How do you pronounce his last name? Peter, you know, who played Ricky. Peter, him. Anyways, I can't pronounce his last name, and I don't want to screw it up. So,
PP.
When they had him, instead of them talking, like, when they were talking about the new agent and everything, they're hyping up this new agent, and then you see Johnny as the new agent. I only mentioned Johnny because I thought him as a filmmaker, that would have been an interesting cover. And it's so much drama for a Demira to be Joe Law, to be a cop. And it plays into his history because, you know, when he was a kid, he loved him some Rafe and was talking about being an FBI agent. And Rafe gave him that jacket. And Stefano and EJ wanted to whoop Rafe's ass for that. They hated that. That would reignite EJ versus Rafe. And that would spin off. Like, no one would. Nobody would believe that a Demira is an ISA agent, and he has the perfect cover as a filmmaker when he's doing surveillance. He's, you know, he can be like, oh, I'm doing surveillance on a scout. See, like,
I love everything that you just described about Johnny because you're pulling it from history. But what I actually thought they were going to do in this and they didn't do it, I actually thought that they were going to try and make Ben the next, I like this was going to basically be his first introduction to the ISA, and it would be what leads him into it. But Ben as an ISA agent ended up being such a dud in trying to like get his side of the gem that I'm like, oh, I don't ever want to see Ben in the ISA.
Let's just be real here. Let's just talk brass tacks. If Ron did that, you know he would have gotten dragged, and rightly so. You got a serial killer as a damn ISA agent. Like, no, I wouldn't have been here for that. No, Ben needs to be more, you know, even though he's supposed to be like the average Joe, Ben needs to be more like, I don't know, in the 21st century a little bit. When I say that, I mean, you know, he knows cars, but he knows technology and whatever technological thing that he comes up with can help out. And that's how you get him in the boardroom and blah, 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 blah. But
if we're being really brass tacks, Ben needs a life outside of Sierra because he only works with Sierra.
I thought Johnny would have been great, because that's like, because then also it will make the transition for people who've never, like, for later viewers who've never seen it, to be like, who the hell is this Johnny and the Damaris? Oh, I got to watch the Mothership. Or people who don't watch Days anymore and they're like, oh shit, you mean to tell me they got Johnny as a damn ISA agent? And then tune into that. That's just my only thing. But then I figured out they couldn't really do it because that little guy, anybody like 20
something?
Yeah. Anybody who born in the 90s and 2000s, use little to me. But he was probably on his honeymoon and they shot this really fast. So probably couldn't really do it. So yeah.
What did you think of the overall story for Beyond Salem?
Well, I only have one word for this week of Beyond Salem. Fun. Fun is the thing that kept coming to my head. It had, you don't have to have any history with Days to know that. I mean, the two were so separate that even the little things didn't matter, that they were relating to what was going on in Salem. You could watch this 5 episodes and just...
It kind of gave you an overview on what's going on in Salem, too, if you really think about it.
Yeah, it was well done enough that if you didn't watch Days, then you could still watch this and not really feel lost. The adventure of this is when I think Jamie used the word 90s caper. This is definitely fits the bill. I mean, this had intrigue going on, jewels and spies and world domination, and it just just had fun watching it.
Yeah, Marlena, let's like I thought, oh god, Marlena's another damsel in distress when fake Shane was like, he grabbed her. Now, first and foremost, I thought fake Shane, when they were like, that's not Shane, I was like, oh god, he got on a mask. Oh,
I said the same thing out loud. I was like, no.
I was watching. It was like, you've got a mask and you've got a mask. And I was like, oh, wait, now they're twins. So
they were twins. I just tweeted that out. And Tony, yes, I'm going to call you out, girl. My little encyclopedia. My little encyclopedia. I'm tweeting it. Here she comes spoiling it. It's a twin. I'm like, shut up, Tony. Shit.
I'm going to say, I get a shout out to Zach Tinker, who just came in and took control of Sonny, and I thought he did a great job. I thought that Billy Flynn did a great job. He was actually able to shine, and it looked like he was having fun. I really, really like the straight guy who can be open and affectionate and loving with his gay friends and feel secure enough in his own sexuality. That makes me feel good. I feel like... this, I'm going to say this, and I could be wrong, but this was the vehicle where Christian Alfonso dropped the ball.
Yes, because, sir! You can say it again, bitch!
Princess Gina in New Orleans would have tied her missing off the canvas and then found by Sierra. This was where I felt she was... I felt like she's been missing for a while on the main show, but this is where I really felt she was missing.
No, no, I'm good. No, this is what I think that Kristen, I will never come back ever again. Like she Taylor Swift, Alfonso fucked herself over. Nobody wants to say it. Everybody treats these people like they're sacred jewels or something that you can't criticize. I will criticize from the rooter to the tooter. I don't care. I'm just going to be real. That's what we do. We're critics. Kristen Alfonso, she may have gotten her feelings hurt. Maybe rightly so. Okay. I feel as though this could have been like a little peace offering if she had come back and done this, you know, and we would have found out where Hope was. And this could have been like a true farewell for people. But in my opinion, I don't know nothing now. In my opinion, she burnt all them bridges when she did all those 11 dozen interviews saying, oh, I'm never coming back. And then when she, I'm like, I don't understand how Sweeney friends with her or Lisa Rinna, because she threw hella shade. I don't want to be one of those people. I remember her saying this. I don't want to be one of those people who keep popping up back in her back. That's just not me. And I was like, oh, so you throwing shade at Sweeney, you throwing shade at Lisa Rinna,
Eileen Davidson.
I'm like, but what are you doing? The last thing I saw you do was something that Sweeney invited you on, which is one of them cupcake podcast murder mysteries that she does. So I thought you burnt your bridge. In my opinion, she burnt her bridge by, you could say your thing, but be a little gracious. You know what I'm saying? Like her saying, I'll never, ever, ever, ever. Girl, you missed out. You missed out.
This could have reinvigorated her character, which really needed a kick in the pants. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
So if you could. Sorry.
I'm going to circle back a little bit to some of the storyline elements. We've done an overview of it, but I want to dive into a couple things. In New Orleans, Ben and Sierra, them trying to get the gem led them to the Favershams. Miles and Sophie, I love seeing Adrian Franz. I liked this element. I also thought that Lisa Rinna and Billy and then Kyle, the dance that they did was sort
of fun.
Oh, that was
so sexy.
It was. But the thing about the agent was, and this is what transposes to the Phoenix is, I wanted Kyle to be bisexual and be the character that would cross over to the primary days. Because he had chemistry with Lisa Rinna, but then I was like, he had a lot of chemistry with Leo too. And the thought of the thought of like Leo and all of his over the topness, and then having the straight laced agent fall possibly for a character like Leo, I was like, great television. No, I'm just saying this is reaction to it.
No, no, we don't know because, you know, it's 5 episodes. So here's hoping they get more episodes so we can explore that so people watch it. Yeah,
what I'm saying is I wouldn't mind Kyle. Like, I sort of expected that this like miniseries would lead to maybe one of the characters crossing over to the big show and being introduced there. And so but what I'm saying is my mind on the first episode when Kyle was introduced, he was my first like, oh, this is going to be that character. So I enjoyed that. I do want to say, I think that Billy Flynn looked like he's had the most fun as an actor in years on Days of Our Lives. On the main show for the past several years, it's not necessarily, but it's not that he's been phoning it in. It's just that it's been monotone, sort of.
I don't think so. I think the storylines that he gets are heavy. Like, you can't be having a kiki when your wife is having a nervous breakdown, you know?
Right. Well, there's a point there.
You can't be grinning and skinning when your marriage is exploded because you screwed your wife's long lost sister who's been plotting her demise. So
that Will and Sonny are necessary on canvas for a lot of reasons, but because it gives Chad best friends.
Right. And he doesn't have anybody.
He needs
than Kate.
Yeah, he needs best friends. And this to me just reminded me. And when Theo comes to town, I love Chad and Theo. They're so great together. He needs those male friends, and I hope.
By him, them, that boy voguing. I said, bitch, are you voguing?
The duck walk. The Chandler was duck walking, and I was like, okay.
Luke, just really fast to circle back to your Kyle stuff. When he said to Billy, you know, they say imitation is the highest form of flattery, and he's like, you know, I was very attracted to Jackie Cox.
Right.
And then you look like her, and I thought, oh, that's an interesting line.
Hello.
Insert.
Speaking of which, the drag queen Jackie Cox, she came on as her Lisa Rinna impression, which is what she did on Drag Race when she got into the final three or four, whatever it was that season. And it was, I enjoyed that. I really like Zach Tinker as Sonny. I think he did a good job. Like, I felt more chemistry with Will and Sonny in those few episodes that we'd seen in a very long time on the main show.
Okay, the shower scene. The shower scene, yeah, cut that off. The shower scene. Honey, I was like, so y'all just throwing it all out there, no pun intended. I was like, I love that they were getting that Ron decided to be a little, you know, tantalizing and titillating, because I thought that was, I told you, Greg Rickard stole the show. It was just sizzling.
And that shower bigger than the entire Kiriakis living room.
that was the thing about this, that the lighting and the sets for this.
It was so pretty.
The lighting was so good. And then we went back, not to bring up a topic that we're not going to discuss because it was that bad on Days, but then you go to the lighting on the Kiriakis mansion as everything is going down with Callista, and you're like, what, with my bag of money
and says we want a show, like,
right, like, so what I was like, how can we get one of these sets, how could we repurpose the lighting or one of these sets in Salem? In Switzerland we got to see Eileen Davidson again as Kristen going around the circle. Mike, you have been quiet for a little bit. What did you think of Eileen Davidson's return?
Well, talk about walking into a place and feeling comfortable. I mean, she felt like a glove. And it was like there was no time that she has not been Kristen. And I liked her interaction with Billy. Her and Rena are good.
They're like
gold on Real Housewives. So if you watch that show and you watch
these two, I enjoyed them.
And then, of course, for all the people that knew all of Susan's alter ego or Eileen's alter egos that she played, giving a little nod to Sister Mary Moira, turning up to bilk Anna away from the jewel,
which isn't really too hard to put one over on Anna.
What's so weird about Anna is Anna can arrive in Salem, solve a mystery in 5 seconds, and yet on the other hand, she can be the dumbest plank on the ship. I don't get it, but it works.
It does work. And let me just
one of my favorites. Anna has always been one of my favorites, and I've always loved Leanne Hunley and everything and other stuff that she's done, not just Days.
All right, go bud.
Just to circle back, the confrontation between Billy and Kristen with Kyle sitting there, and they.
Oh my god! I just caught that. Oh my god!
No!
I caught that because I'm like. Y'all know I watch The Housewives, so that was a little homage to them. But I'm like, Kyle Richards, got it. Okay.
They used the exact words that Rinna and Davidson and Kim Richards said to each other. That was verbatim how that went down, and I thought it was so awesome.
Was that cat playing Kyle to take off running like Kyle Richards? Uh-huh. Because. The meta-ness of that
they went to Amsterdam, and that was where the trip was on Beverly Hills, that when all that shit went down was in Amsterdam.
Just the running, I guess when Kristen took off running, I guess that's Kyle running out of the restaurant.
It was also well done.
So I didn't watch that episode. Did Kyle drop anything by chance when she ran out?
Okay. So Lisa Rinna, like Lisa, Kim tried to insinuate that Harry was fucking around on Lisa. And Risa was like, bitch, don't do it. And she got up slowly out of that chair and she grabbed this glass and flung it to the ground. I was like, Lisa looked like she was about to cut a bitch. Kyle, that's Kyle's sister. Kim is Kyle's sister. Kyle took off running and left her sister.
Mm-hmm.
Bitch. How you leave your sister get her ass
kicked? And Kim Richards.
But what's interesting about that is they alluded to that earlier when Jackie Cox was in Phoenix.
And she said, don't talk about my husband. And she was trying to tell
right.
Billy who Lisa was. Don't talk
about Harry. She was like, do not talk about Harry. Kim gasped.
Kim Richards told Lisa Rinna to eat a piece of bread because she was too thin. She called Eileen Davidson a beast. And then Eileen said, how dare you? And all of it was exactly how it went down.
Yeah. Yeah. So whoever thought about that, kudos with that.
Kudos. Yes. When Eileen Davidson shed the Moira costume and they panned up and there she is and she's God help those that help themselves. I'm like, there's Kristen. It's Kristen.
Yep.
And I was like, ah, I got goosebumps.
I liked when Paulina was in Miami and they were out to lunch and those guys came up with a gun and Lonnie's like, just give it to him. And she goes, but I love it.
Yes, let's talk about Miami.
Yes,
we talked about the melanin-less people. Let's talk about the melanin
so good.
People. Miami was amazing. I loved it. They're on vacation. Okay, just a little critique. Rosie O'Donnell ain't the only motherfucker that had a place in Star Island. I'm like, come on.
Right, but the reason why they did that is because she's a daytime connection, I'm sure.
I hope that's it because, shit, I'm like, Rihanna. They mentioned Gloria Estefan. Was she in daytime doing? No.
They've got the Latin Table Talk that she was nominated for an Emmy this last year.
Stop it.
No. Well, she does. You asked where she was in daytime. I was replying.
Ah.
And I'm replying to you. Stop it. If you wanted to stay young and fresh, y'all should have mentioned Rihanna, LeBron James. I'm like, well, they ain't going to mention Stallone. I'm like, no, but yeah, but I'm like, oh, Rosie, okay, enough. But I enjoyed it.
Yes.
Paul is like, I ain't trying to part with this. Now, they really did pull the wool over when they kept saying, Michelle,
yes,
she's a power.
That was good.
And I was like, ooh, I'm like, Michelle Obama ring. I'm like, Secret Service ain't showed up at that doorstep yet to yank you up, girl. And then when you saw that it was somebody named Michelle White, I was like, that was cute. That was cute.
Let me just say, it was Jackie cute, but Harry and Charles Shaughnessy's interaction was gold.
Yes.
They were playing off each other like gold.
See, and the thing about that is, I mean, I love Paulina on days I don't want her to go anywhere, but then you see Charles Shaughnessy and you think about him in comedy on The Nanny, her history with comedy, and you're like, why can't I have these two in a primetime comedy together?
I just thought it was great.
It was good. It was really good. And then, see, for people, they also threw in some of what's happening on, even though it's like separate, it's sort of kind of separate realms, but it isn't. They threw in what's happening over at the mothership when Lonnie was just like, you know, you're just like my mom, you know, because they had like, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna just let y'all know that's some black moment right there. When Paulina was like, y'all got everything because I do not want y'all leaving nothing and we have to come back and go get it. I'm like, that's black mama 101. How many times my mom was like, collect your stuff and because I do not want to come back to get it. Like, that's, I thought that was cool. when Lonnie said, you're just like my mom, always thinking about stuff. And the look that she had on her face was just like, ooh, girl, you hitting too close to the head with that. When she was just like, you know, it's generational or something like that. I was like, it showed people who's not watching, something's going on there. And how she was so overly protective of her when Lonnie jumped up and was like, we gonna get your ring, girl, and ran them suckers down to get that ring and stuff. She was like, you gotta take care of my baby. I'm like, they're putting the little breadcrumbs for you to come on and find your way back to Days of Our Lives. Thought it was good. Lonnie and Shane were brilliant together.
Yeah, I love
crime. I'm like, oh, wait, was it Shane or was it Drew?
Yeah,
See, and that's another thing that I liked. I thought that it was a mask, and then Miss Tony, yes, I'm a drag it. You spoiled it for me. I'm a drag it, girl. I was like, okay, it's a twin. And then I'm like, a twin? It's a real twin. It's not something that they pulled out of their ass. I'm like, oh, that's where Andrew Donovan's name comes from, because Shane's son is Andrew Donovan the second. And so did a little digging and found out, like, you know, Marlena treated him and stuff like that when she had that moment. And she was like, Drew, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? I thought that was that's great.
And his love, Camilla, that they mentioned, that was an actual character on the show. He loved
Camilla.
He said she died since he saw Marlena. So, I mean, this was a long time ago, but he was in love with Camilla.
Because I'm like, God, did John and Marlena kill her too, like they did Orpheus?
Orpheus's wife?
Shit, y'all start killing people, women. Ugh.
Before we get to the climax in Alamania, I want to take a moment to just circle back to Carrie and Austin for a moment. Because the moment that took me out of the adventure was when Austin was being framed as this high-end jewel thief. And in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, Austin is the stupidest lunk of hunk on, like, days for generations. Sammy works circles around him. There is no way in hell that Austin Reed could come up with a plan to steal one jewel, let alone multiples. And I'm like, and that's where I got lost. I was like, okay.
When Austin wanted to actually spend all that money to buy something that he knew wasn't really a good fit for Carrie to begin with. Somebody said that doesn't sound like Carrie, right, he's like, but I want to get it for her. Right. It's like,
well, but there's,
if,
but
if
there's
I was
a difference.
Carrie, I'd be like, this is nice, but you know, this is not.
There's a difference between a man who is wanting to have a big gesture to make up for being a fuck up like he did with Carrie, and a man who we're now supposed to believe could coordinate, plan, and execute multiple jewel thieves.
But wait,
y'all are such gay boys, because straight person here, listen here, y'all. If you fuck up with me, if that's not me and you're going to spend something extravagant, you want it. It's the principle. And that's what they were doing. I'm like, y'all, shut up.
I know, but that's what I basically said.
They gave us a wink nod to what you're saying. First of all, when Austin was arrested, if you noticed, nobody believed he did it.
A couple of them did, but Billy didn't.
But wait. Wait.
Nobody did. Yeah. Go ahead, baby.
No, it's okay. So when they're in, where I thought we were getting the wink, wink, nod, nod was when Billy and Carrie and Austin were in the police station, and Billy and Carrie so didn't think this was the thing that they started giggling about Kyle. Like, they weren't even concerned about Austin because this clearly wasn't a thing. We're just going to talk about the cute guy.
Yes, because I said it on Twitter when Kyle was like, well, Billy, the evidence points to your brother. He did do it. I'm like, baby, Samantha Jean would like a word. Just FaceTime. Him? No, he's just stupid. Call Lucas. Lucas will be like, oh my God, my brother. Call his mama, Kate. Kate will be like, he too dumb. Yeah. Just let him go. He's one of my dumb boys. Yeah.
The only person who's smarter than Austin is Brady, and not by much. Yeah. I mean, there is no way that Austin could be a jewel thief or a
forensic accountant for that matter. But let's.
Oh, yeah. He can't. No, he can't. He can't run no.
Shane is knocked out by Drew. That is discovered. Suddenly everybody realizes that the swap has taken place so that Drew can get the gems.
And Carrie figured that part out.
Carrie's smart.
Except for John, love life.
John and Marlena follow Drew to Alamania. John and Marlena follow Drew to Alamania, where they have the meeting with Lord Sebastian Alamein, played by Noah Huntley. And we also have Kyle show up, and this is the climax of the episode. Going around the circle, what did you think of the climax of the Alamanian peacock storyline? Jillian?
I liked it. I enjoyed it because I'm not going to lie. I thought oh God, Marlena's gonna be a damsel in distress, because I'm just sitting there. I'm just like, Marlena, over the years that you've been on this damn show and in Salem and messing with John and Roman and Roman John and Robo John or whatever he wanna be today, I'm like, you've been on the end. You've been a hostage. I'm like, girl, haven't you learned some sort of self-help? And when she goes, yeah, I was like, oh shit, Marlena.
She got a gat. All right,
as she grabbed her nine and was like, I don't want to shoot you, but I will. I was like, yes, that's what I'm talking about, Marlena. I love that.
Loved it.
That she was not a damsel in distress. When you heard Drew talk about his history and stuff like that, and then you hear the Alamanes and the Von Lerschners going off, like, when they're saying, you know, a classy person would have given it back. And they were like, too damn bad, Carl. We had our end of the bargain. That's Carly. Y'all should cuss Carly out. That ain't our problem. Like, they were just like, fuck y'all. That's Carly's problem. Cuss her out. I thought that was good. And it's still leading, you know, if they go there, God willing, they give them some more orders. We could see more of that.
Oh, yes.
I enjoyed it, and the women, you know, saved the day, so to speak. Marlena pulled out her little nine, and then Billy was like, I loved it. It was good.
They left some things hanging.
Yeah.
Because, like, yes. Kristen got away once again. I mean, where will Kristen pop up next?
Now she like Carmen Sandiego with that. She
yes, she is. Mike, what did you think of the climax of the Alamanian Peacock?
Well, just because it was five episodes, it seemed to be like a very quick wrap up. It's like boom, boom, boom. But in retrospect, knowing that Jamie was behind it, it just screamed.
Well, Jamie
it
wrote
just
the
screamed.
Finale.
Yeah, it screamed Jamie, didn't it? I mean, the peacocks.
When he had lasers from Jules, I texted him. I texted him and I was like, lasers from space, huh? Pew, 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 pew. And he just sent me back a laugh my ass thing. Yeah, I was like, after all these years of him and Mel giving me a hard time with the pew, pew, pews, he goes and has lasers from space.
Pew, 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 didn't happen. So shut up. You leave my friend alone. Stop it.
Basically, keep going, Mike.
Just using the thing of, you know, the peacock lighting up each jewel and then getting to the very last one and then finding out it was a
finding
fake.
Out that Leo saved
that
the
Leo
world.
Leo had it all along. The gaze of Phoenix saved the world. It was very kind of like Bionic Woman.
Well, but
Bionic,
and I
very
think,
old school Salem, I'm sure.
But I think it was that. I feel like this was almost. It was an ode to old school days and to old school late 80s, early 90s television, whether primetime or daytime.
Yeah, it was.
Keep going, Mike. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, that, and it's just like it having the peacock and the jewels and the end of the world scenario was very, you know, General Hospital popular. Hello, meet Ghost Castanine trying to freeze the world with the Ice Princess. So it was fun. It was fun. I don't really know how else to say it. I enjoyed all five episodes. I had a couple of missteps. I think Luke brought up one with Austin. But overall, it was just I was not expecting that ending.
Okay.
To be honest. So it was a nice surprise as well.
Josh, what did you think of the Alamanian Peacock climax?
Oh my God, this voice, knock it off. You're screaming me out. You're creeping me out. Knock it off.
I was sitting there watching that last episode and I was enjoying it. I loved all the episodes, but in my mind, I was going, there's a twist. Where's it coming? Because it ain't old school days action adventure without some little sci-fi twist in. And then when he said, this is a, and then he pulled out his phone.
The
peacock is on the screen. I was like, oh, he got that device that Gabby used to activate Julie's heart. and so he's doing it. He's going to destroy all the major cities and Salem. And then it didn't work. And I did love the sort of Leo Stark saves the world inadvertently because of his greed. I thought that
notice that his
awesome.
Pockets had to be picked in order for
well,
that.
Well, and
be
I love that Greg Rickard pushed his crotch forward and said, oh, don't do it. It was awesome. I thought all of it played out really well. I loved the ending where Lord Sebastian invited Billy back to the castle to have dinner. And Shane said, you can do do that because you're doing your research on the Alamanian peacock. And I agree with it. I'm sorry, I don't remember who said it, but I agree that there are strings hanging here. You could have Beyond Salem that's all about ISA capers.
See, like, what I put on Twitter is I think that NBC and Universal may have figured out the formula for revitalizing the main show while also making more money off of the franchise, because if Days of Our Lives used the success of Beyond Salem and basically treated it like American or FX treats American Horror Story, where every single season is a new self-contained arc, I think that you could do, say, like maybe 4 8 episode arcs a year, and you could have a little bit longer story. You could have it be much more of an event. You could incorporate all of the stars from the Bravo like characters like were alluded to in this. You could bring in old soap actor, not old people as an age, but people who started out on soaps or started out on Days. You could bring them in for cameos, sort of the same way we did Charles Shaughnessy and Eileen Davidson, and you could basically turn this into a franchise where it's in the pop culture zeitgeist, because every 4 months, every whatever, there's a new Beyond Salem : insert new title, and all of a sudden you're driving pop culture interest, because look at how much publicity they got from Jackie Cox being on the show. Look how much publicity they got from Lisa Rinna and Eileen Davidson and but I'm saying for the people who aren't on the show all the time currently, like,
but
Jack
I'm
A
saying
is.
I'm just
but
saying.
What I'm but like the tying into the Bravo Housewives, there's an opportunity for Universal to do something here.
Look, I don't want Kim Richards crazy ass on
well, but maybe she could run out. Maybe she could run out of a scene. I was joking. I do think that there's an opportunity for Days of Our Lives and for Universal to do something here that both strengthens the main show, helps improve, solidify its ratings, and makes it stronger, while also giving fans additional content and driving traffic to the Peacock app.
I mean, and think about it also before closing out. The name is kind of perfect, Beyond Salem. It doesn't have to really, like, when we talk about Bold and the Beautiful, for example, when we're like, well, what happens over at International, over at YNR and stuff like that, it can be Beyond Salem. Like, what the hell is Billy doing? You know, when Kristen's on the run, what is that heifer doing? You know, when Sammy takes her 11 dozen times that she's going somewhere, when Allison Sweeney can give him a little time from being a mogul in the making to whatever, you know, what is Sammy doing? You know,
it could also play into something that you mentioned earlier, and I'm just picking up on it, but when you talked about Johnny being an ISA agent, considering that you have Allie's history in London, Johnny was in London, you have Ben and Sierra as the younger cast, you could have them end up in London. You could have Beyond Salem, the, like, Royal Jewel Caper or something, like, I mean, obviously not that title, but something along the lines of that you send the young people and then some of the older vets too on this adventure to London. And it would be a great way to really actually strengthen Days of Our Lives as a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Final thoughts as we're wrapping this up. My final thought is I need Adrian Frons on main Days. Mike, final thought.
My final thought is I'm hoping that with the Beyond Salem buzz on the air carries over to the main show. There's a lot of elements that I think would kind of perk up Days in certain aspects.
Better
so I kind of would like to see that.
Jillian, final thought?
My final thought is for people that wanted to have something with soaps online instead of just watching episodes that you miss, we have our opportunity here, so you need to watch it, because if you want to see more of your faves, but you can't because the mothership it's too expensive, or they're not, you know, it's not what they're planning on doing, this is it here. And for people who wonder if soaps can still carry on, they can. They just proved it by what they've done there. Like, everybody wants there to be another type of a platform for them to be on, just in case, you know, daytime, the big three decide to be assholes and are just like, it's it. You have something right here. I feel as though they proved it with Beyond Salem with Peacock. So go ahead and watch and support so we could see more of your faves pop up.
Josh, final thought?
Everything everybody has said, plus just, hey, GHB and BYNR, pay attention.
Not only this them, is, and also this, ate all my children in one life.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the attention. This week, Entertainment Weekly listed Beyond Salem as one of the must-watches of the week. I mean, that's just incredible. Now, just a quick side note for my final thought. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know, can't talk about it.
I was about to say P&G.
Oh, yeah, P&G, yeah, absolutely. And just a quick side note for my final thought. When John walked in and called Carrie Pumpkin, I teared up because Roman may have given her the biology, but John is her fucking father. And I just melted. Carrie and John is one of my favorite relationships.
John treated them equally, even though Sammy gave him hell, he always treated her equally and he always looked out for her. So that's how he always is with Marlena's cubs and the offshoots of them. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thrilled. I felt like this was for everybody, but I felt like little teenage Josh was like, this is a gift. This is so wonderful. It was so pretty and it was so adventurous. And I just loved it.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Josh is at DrJoshua09. Jillian is at Jillian Bow, and Mike is at MPJ24. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Tantiamo.
Bye, y'all.